13, and we're coming together to the words of verse 22 as our text today. The words of that 22nd verse, I'd like you to think of it with me for just a little while this morning. It tells us, and the men turned their faces from thence and went toward Sodom, but Abraham stood yet before the Lord. So it's those words where it says that Abraham stood yet before the Lord. The subject today is Abraham was a man of prayer. I pray that that'll touch your heart. Pray the Lord will put it upon your heart. Pray that even the title itself will speak to you and give you a desire as you sit for this little time studying the scriptures, give you a desire to be such a man and such a woman. If you think of the chapter as a whole, Genesis 18, the first part of the chapter is a part of the chapter that tells us about Abraham when he was busy serving the Lord. You're told in those opening verses about how Abraham served Christ. The second part is different. There's a contrast. Abraham is still standing before the Lord, as the words of our text tell us. But in the second part of the chapter, here we learn how he communed with Christ. And brethren and sisters, I pray the Lord will give us a greater desire for that. So here, Abraham in the closing verses, he's waiting in the place of prayer, and he's pleading with the Lord, especially for those cities of the plain. So if you think of those two halves of the chapter, it sets before us a balanced Christian life as far as Abraham is concerned. And that is a good thing. It's a very healthy thing. He sets us here a very good example in that regard. You have many other examples of that in the scripture. If you think of Mary, she also sat. How important that little word also is in the context of the passage and the story. Mary worked. She was involved in the serving that day, but she also waited before the Lord. So the importance of having that balance, brethren and sisters, in our lives shouldn't be the one to the exclusion of the other. You remember the little chorus we teach the children? Daniel was a man of prayer. He wasn't exclusively the only man of prayer. He stands out in that regard. I want you to think today of Abraham was a man of prayer. I want to stress his prayer life to you. We have it set before us, a great example of it here in the latter half of this 18th chapter of Genesis. Some questions I want us to think about. Think of the question, who did Abraham pray for? And the answer, brethren and sisters, is he prayed for others. Didn't pray for himself. And I want to encourage you to do that. I want to encourage you to do the same. Can I stress to you, there's a need for intercessors. If you think of our land, the day in which we're in, the spiritual climate in which we're found, there is a need for intercessors in this land. Remember the Lord spoke about it to Ezekiel the prophet, I sought for a man. And the Lord was seeking for a man to stand before him for the land. And the sad thing is, there's not so many that are engaged in that work or that ministry. And I want to encourage you today, I want to ask you, will you be one of those people? Our church has lost some very faithful members, been called home to heaven, some that are growing older, and through that we have lost some faithful prayer warriors through age and sickness and death and so on. And I want to encourage you to pray. The Lord will raise up others. That's very important to the future of the congregation. But even more than that, it's very important to the future of the work of God, the work of the gospel in this land of ours. Do you remember the prayer of the psalmist? Help, Lord, for the godly man ceaseth. That psalm's a description, that cry of the psalmist is a description of our land and the day in which we live. The godly man ceaseth. And we need to pray for help. And the only place that we can look to, and the only place that we can turn to for that help, is to the Lord himself. So there's a need for laborers, brethren and sisters. And there's a need, as we emphasized on Thursday night, especially for those who will labor in the place of prayer. If you think of this chapter, remember especially that Lot was Abraham's nephew. That was one of the main reasons why he prayed for Sodom. He was thinking primarily of his relative, one that he had been so close to for so many years. Abraham's praying here for his family. And how important, brethren and sisters, how important that is. Don't neglect it. Let me stress that to you today. That's a vital reason why you should be at the prayer meeting. If for no other reason, come and pray for your loved ones. Come and pray for their deliverance. Come and pray for their salvation. And remember, as you think of Lot, Lot had caused Abraham a lot of trouble, but still he prayed for him. Sometimes we have the wrong attitude. We have a bad attitude. People that have caused us a lot of difficulty, they're the last people we would think of praying for. But the Bible says we're to pray for our enemies. And Abraham had had a lot of trouble from Lot, but still he prayed for him. Lot was a backslider. He was worldly. He was carnal, taken up too much with the things of this world. So we learn here, brethren and sisters, as Abraham pleaded, thinking of Lot and praying for him, the need to pray for the backslider. Backslider in your family. A backslider in the place where you work. Maybe some backslider you used to sit with, fellowship with in the house of the Lord. Need to pray for them too, brethren and sisters. Remember that Lot had been saved or delivered before. He had been delivered before by Abraham's intervention. Remember the trained men in his house, that personal army that Abraham had, that he set off with to deliver Abraham from the kings, those kings that had come upon Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot had been saved or delivered before by Abraham's intervention. But on this occasion, Genesis 18, he's saved by Abraham's intercession. And both are necessary, brethren and sisters. We're learning here, or one of the lessons we do learn here, is the importance of prayer for those who are wayward. Abraham was concerned for the condition of others, especially their spiritual condition. And the reality for us, as we think of that, the reality is if you're concerned about the spiritual condition of others, you will pray. You will take time to lift them up at the throne of grace. And remember that Abraham was concerned even for those who were wicked sinners. If you think of how Sodom is described in the scriptures, chapter 13 and verse 13, it's a very significant reference. 13 in the Bible is the number of apostasy. But chapter 13, verse 13, it says, the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly. See the strength of the wording, the build up of the wording. They were wicked. They were sinners before the Lord exceedingly. They were vile sinners. And yet Abraham prayed for them. He prayed for the lost. And I want to urge you to do the same. Thursday night at the Bright Hour prayer meeting, we considered Paul's words to the Romans, chapter 10, verse 1, my heart's desire, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. We can take those words, think of our city, think of our land, think of your family. We could pray my heart's desire and prayer to God for Armagh, for Northern Ireland, for family members, is that they might be saved. May God give us such a heart to plead for them at the throne of grace. And remember, brethren and sisters, that even Sodomites can be saved. How important it is to remember that. In the light of all that's taking place, in all the events, the legalizing of same-sex marriage is the first of those awful marriages taking place in our land in recent days. Remember, the Bible teaches that even Sodomites can be saved as a great testimony to the power of the gospel. You have an example of that in Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He spoke there about the congregation. He was giving a description of many of them, their past. And he said, among them there were those who were abusers of themselves with mankind. So that's a description of the Sodomite. An abuser of themselves with mankind. And then he went on to say, after he gave that list, and it's a list that it's full of those who were guilty of all sorts of immorality, sexual sins. And he said, such were some of you, but ye are washed. So I want you to know, want to have that renewed vision and burden in the day in which we live. There's a work to be done. There's a witness to be raised, even to the LGBT community, even to those that are sodomites, as they're described and spoken of in the Word of God. Can I point out, it's a very significant lesson. Abraham had more influence on Sodom living outside the city, especially by his prayers, than Lot had living in the city. It's not very important to see, to understand. Lot had no testimony. Lot had no influence living in the city. But his uncle had more influence upon what happened in Sodom living outside it by the prayers that he offered. So that teaches us that God uses the separated life. God uses the prayer life of his people. So be encouraged by that, brethren and sisters. So that's who he prayed for. Think of how he prayed. And the answer is he prayed persistently. Read the chapter again, 6 times over. He presented petitions to the Lord from 50 right down to 10. So here's a man that kept pleading. Here's a man that kept praying. In fact, the truth is that Abraham stopped asking before God stopped answering. He kept pleading. He didn't give up. How often we do, to our shame. The Savior said, men ought always to pray and not to faint. Is it not true, brethren and sisters? I face it honestly today, as we're sitting in the Lord's house with his word in our hands. There is much fainting today in the place of prayer. You see it in the prayer meetings. You don't have to look any further. There's many that have fainted in their attendance of the place of prayer. The Savior said, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and the door shall be opened unto you. Every one of those words, the asking, the seeking, the knocking, they're all in the continuous tense. So the idea is we're to continue, we're to be persistent in our asking, in our seeking, in our knocking, in prayer upon heaven's door. Remember Nehemiah? He prayed for 4 months for the intervention of God, for God's guiding hand upon his life. The Bible says, if you compare chapter 1 of Nehemiah with chapter 2, he began to pray in the month Kislew, and the Lord stepped in and answered his prayers in the month Nisan. That's 4 months. It corresponds from December right through to April. So this time of the year that we find ourselves in at the moment, that's when Nehemiah was praying for the Lord to come and open the door for him to go and do a great work there in the city of Jerusalem. Another example, great example of persistence in prayers, Elijah. Remember, it says that he prayed again. It's not a great statement in the book of James. He prayed again that it might rain. He prayed for the rain to come. It also says of Elijah, he said to his servant, go again. Think of the use of that word in the story of Elijah. Go again 7 times. We need to keep praying, brethren and sisters. We need to keep persisting, presenting those petitions before the Lord. If you think of the question, why do we faint? One of the answers is we're trusting in ourselves, trusting in our own strength. The Savior in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, the spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The great obstacle, the greatest obstacle we have in the Christian life is ourselves, or one of the greatest obstacles. The flesh is weak. So what we need is the power of the Spirit to come upon us. Jude said we're to pray in the Holy Ghost. So let that be our request in our own lives, our prayer meetings, the life of the church. You hear the wind as it blows and it whistles. The Bible says in the day of Pentecost, the Spirit came down upon the church like a rushing, mighty wind. And that's the wind we need, brethren and sisters. We need the wind of God in our lives, our services. We need that mighty wind of God, the power of it, to be felt again all across this land. So that's how he prayed. Think of when he prayed. If you look at verse 17 of the chapter, it tells us, "And the Lord said, shall I hide from Abraham that thing which I do?" So he had just heard God's word. He had just heard a message from the Lord. That's the time when he prayed. There's a progression in the chapter. If you look at it carefully, he was resting, then he was serving, then he was listening, and then ultimately he was interceding. There's a progression in his life through the chapter. And we're stressing here that Abraham was listening to the voice of God. How important that is, men and women, how important to hear the word of the Lord. That's why you need to come to the meetings. That's why you need to take the time every day, your own quiet time, personal devotions, just to hear God speak, to hear his voice in your life. James said, "We are to desire the sincere milk of the word, that ye may grow thereby." So here's how you go on. Here's how you make progress in the Christian life. And as you hear the word, it should bring a response from your heart. It should bring a response from your life. You shouldn't sit unmoved as a child of God under the ministry and through the reading of the word of God. If you're careless, if you're indifferent, if you're unresponsive when you hear the word of the Lord, then I have to tell you that's a cause for concern, brethren and sisters. It's a cause for concern for the condition and the state of your heart. You ask me today, what sort of response should I give to the word of God? Well, for one thing, the response of obedience. Peter said, we're to be doers of the word, not just hearers. We're to heed as well as hear. We're to be doers. The Savior said, if ye love me, keep my commandments. It's not very clear. If you say you love the Lord, then one way that will be displayed and manifested is that you will keep his commandments. You'll do his will for your life. So you need a heart that is willing. We emphasized the first Lord's Day of the year in our motto text, the people that have mind. The word is often translated heart. And it comes up here again. We need a heart that's willing, a heart that's obedient to the word of God. Another response that the word should bring from us is that of prayer. What will encourage you to pray more than hearing the word of the Lord, hearing his voice in your life? Hearing the word, that teaches you your need. We learn our helplessness. We know our weaknesses. And the result is you come and you cast yourself down before the Lord. You cast yourself down at his feet and you cry for his help, his guidance, his strength, his blessing in your life. And especially, you should pray when you hear of the eternal danger of sinners. Just ponder that for a moment, men and women. Especially, you should pray. That should be the response. When you hear a message that brings to your heart, as Abraham did here, about the eternal danger of sinners, of the judgment of God that is to come, even the judgment of God upon vile sinners, as we've emphasized, those in Sodom were. And that's exactly what Abraham did. Did you ever notice in the book of Jude, referring to this incident, referring to Sodom and Gomorrah, it spoke about the fire of God that fell upon those cities. And it said that they suffered the vengeance of eternal fire. So the fire that fell upon Sodom was no ordinary fire, men and women. I suggest it may even have been the fires of hell itself. The vengeance of eternal fire. It's a reference to these events that we're studying this morning in Genesis chapter 18. So if you can hear of the dangers of others, if you can hear of the eternal danger of the lost and sit unmoved not do something, not get involved in the work, not come out to the meetings to pray, then there's something wrong with your heart. Something wrong with your heart. We should plead. We should want to plead for those in that condition. Do you remember Leonard Ravenhill's little verse? Can the mariner sit idle and hear the drowning cry? Can the doctor sit at ease and just let his patients die? Can the fireman sit idle, watch men burn and give no hand? Can you sit at ease in Zion and the world around you damned? I'd like you to think of that, brethren and sisters. That's when Abraham prayed. And there's one other thing, just very quickly. That is what encouraged him to pray. You have that in verse 14, the beginning of the verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? There's what encouraged him. A great promise from the Lord himself. Ponder it carefully this morning. Let me just read it to you again. Is anything too hard for the Lord? You have problems today. You have worries, concerns. You have fears. You have circumstances and situations that are beyond your control, that you can't cope with, you can't deal with. I want you to remember, as you think of those words, that he can. The Lord can deal with all those circumstances. There is nothing that is too hard for the Lord. There's no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. There's no prayer that is too hard for the Lord to answer. How that should encourage us to seek his face. There's no problem too hard for the Lord to solve. There's no place that is too hard for the Lord to revive. And there is no prayer, men and women, too hard for the Lord to come and answer. I want to emphasize that one to you again. Do you remember what it says of Abraham in the book of Romans? He staggered not at the promise of God in unbelief. He believed that what the Lord had promised, he was able also to perform. Abraham had a great sight, a great understanding, a great conviction of the power of God, that nothing was too hard for the Lord. You remember chapter 17? The Lord said, I am the Almighty God, El Shaddai. The first mention of that great name or title of the Lord in all the Bible is found in the preceding chapter. So that had been impressed upon Abraham's heart. He had all power. He had the power to deal with the circumstances there in Sodom at that time. And I want you to be encouraged by that, brethren and sisters. The Lord has the power to deal with your situation today, whatever it may be. Do you remember Scriven's words? Have we trials and temptations? Is there trouble anywhere? We should never be discouraged. Take it to the Lord in prayer. I'll close just with this thought. We've been thinking about Abraham as a man of prayer. Well, let me point out that God answered Abraham's prayer. You have it in the next chapter. You turn the page. Look at chapter 19, verse 29. It says, it came to pass when God destroyed the cities of the plain that God remembered Abraham and sent Lot out of the midst of the overthrow when he overthrew the cities in the which Lot dwelt. Isn't that interesting? It says the Lord remembered Abraham. What did the Lord remember about his servant? He remembered the prayers. His earnest, persistent prayers when he had pleaded before him. And he remembered especially, although it's not actually specifically mentioned in Abraham's petitions in chapter 18, but we know from reading that verse 29 in chapter 19, it says the Lord sent Lot out. That indicates that Lot had been very much upon Abraham's heart and mind when he was pleading with the Lord in that previous chapter. So the Lord remembered his servant. The Lord remembered his prayers. The Lord heard and answered those prayers. He had been praying especially for Lot And that prayer had been answered. And Lot was delivered from that judgment out of the midst of the overthrow, the verse says. So I want you to be encouraged by that today. Keep on praying, brethren and sisters. Don't faint in the place of prayer. Those loved ones that have caused you maybe so much difficulty, caused you so much trouble. Those loved ones that are wayward, backslidden, even as Lot was. Those loved ones that are in danger, maybe those that are still out of Christ, in danger of the eternal fire that the book of Jude speaks about, that we've made reference to. Be encouraged by the example of the Lord's servant to keep on praying. Keep on bringing them before the throne of grace in prayer too. The Lord answers. We see that from that 29th verse of chapter 19. The Lord remembers his people, and the Lord answers the earnest petitions that are presented to him. So Abraham, a man of prayer. May the whole study be an encouragement to you, but may the Lord speak to us in such a way that we all are like him and emulate him and follow in his footsteps. So it tells us, let me read the text as I finish. Abraham stood yet, didn't faint, didn't give up, he didn't go away. He stood yet before the Lord. And the reason he stayed, persisted, was to plead with God in the place of prayer. May the Lord write his word today upon every heart.